The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. His Gospel. His sins be wiped away.
I invite you to imagine for a moment that you're out driving on a country road at night, maybe it's winter, and your car suddenly breaks down. And as luck would have it, your phone charger broke and your phone battery is dead. And so you have no way to call someone to come and help. Now, of course, nobody's on the road at this hour of the night. And so you decide to start walking to the nearest house. It's cold and it starts to rain. As you approach a house in the middle of the night, wet, cold, and desperate for help, perhaps you pause for a moment and think to yourself, are these people welcoming? Or will they just see me as a threat and try to run me off, or worse? And if they do, what am I going to do? I can't stay out here all night by myself. You can imagine yourself in a situation like this. Well, then you can imagine why hospitality to strangers was such an important cultural principle in ancient cultures. It was often a matter of life and death. And so in those ancient cultures, you gave hospitality to strangers because one day you yourself might need it. In our readings today, we see examples of the importance of this principle. Of course, there's no mention of life-threatening circumstances in the reading from Genesis, but nonetheless, when these three strangers appear before Abraham, he immediately offers them hospitality. In fact, he begs them to let him serve them. They, of course, accede, and he does. This is kind of a foreign concept here in the United States, isn't it? I mean, here in the United States, and perhaps even more specifically here in Hamilton County, we live in a single-family home culture, right? You know, where everybody has their four walls, and while strangers who come, well, they have motels and hotels that they can stay in, if they don't already know somebody in the area with whom they can stay. The idea that someone would just walk into our town, unknown to all, and find people ready to give him or her a fresh cooked meal and a place to freshen up before continuing on the journey, well, it's just kind of foreign to us, isn't it? Now, I mean, and I grew up in the stranger danger generation, so like I get it. And although this particular idea may seem quite foreign to us, nonetheless, I think it should challenge us to consider the question, are we truly open to receiving the stranger in our midst? Are we truly open to receiving the stranger in our midst? Now, I'll admit right away that the practicalities of doing this without perennially exposing ourselves to bad actors is not an easy question to answer, and I'm not going to try to answer it here. But the principle of the matter is something that we can address. Do I wish to be open to receiving the stranger in my midst and offering him hospitality as if it were Christ himself presenting himself to me? As Christians, this is important for us to answer because, as Abraham has shown us, openness to receiving the stranger and showing him hospitality opens us to the possibility of serving the Lord himself. I mean, surely the author to the letter of the Hebrews had Abraham in mind when he wrote this line, "Do not neglect hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Okay, well, let's presume, however, that we are all open to receiving the stranger in our midst and to providing hospitality. In fact, let's presume that we all consider hospitality an important duty for us as Christians. So starting from this point, then, we can engage the story from our gospel reading and begin to glean some other important lessons. That story in the gospel begins with the same principle as the story of Abraham from the first reading. The Lord shows up to a certain place and he receives hospitality. What we see in the story of Martha, however, is how the duty can sometimes become an obstacle to deeper communion. What we see in the story of Martha is how the duty of hospitality can sometimes become an obstacle to greater communion. Because here we see Martha with a great openness to receive the stranger in her midst and to provide hospitality. Though, of course, we know that Jesus was not a stranger to Martha and Mary, although he probably, in this instance, did show up unexpectedly. What we then see is that for Martha, the duty became the end that she was seeking, not the communion that fulfilling the duty promoted. Thus, when she observes her sister Mary neglecting the duty, well, she becomes resentful and asks Jesus to intervene in order, in a very real way, to shame her sister into joining her into fulfilling the duty. And here we should hear echoes of the story of the prodigal son, huh? You know, there, the older son was resentful that his brother of his brother who got away with spending years in dissolute living while he sacrificed his own desires and remained faithful to his duty to his father. He was so faithful to his duty that he allowed it to separate him, and he saw duty so much as the end that he allowed it to separate him from his father. We see that at the end of that story. And here in the gospel reading today, Martha is diligently fulfilling the duty of hospitality while Mary indulges in listening to Jesus, seemingly doing nothing. For Martha, the duty became the most important thing. She forgot the communion with the guest that the duty was intended to foster. Martha wanted Jesus to acknowledge the injustice that one was bearing the burden of duty that both were expected to bear. But in response, Jesus reminds Martha that in him, mercy tempers justice. Mercy tempers justice. Mercy, in this sense, is the better part that Jesus acknowledges that Mary has chosen. And so the lesson for us is simply a warning not to allow our Christianity to be reduced to a duty towards service, but rather to allow our service to draw us into deeper intimacy with Christ, whom we have the opportunity to encounter in those we serve. Our late Holy Father Pope Francis often reminded us not to just be checkbook Christians, right? And he meant that we can't just be people who write checks to support the poor and their needs. Sorry, young people, checks are things you write out that like transfers money to people. Sorry, okay. We can't just be people who write checks to support the poor and their needs as if the transaction, important as it is, was enough to satisfy our duty. Rather, he was challenging us also to meet those whom we serve with our support. Of course, wherever possible and within reason, so that the fulfillment of our duty also supports our communion with the stranger in our midst, thus further building the kingdom of God. This balance between Martha and Mary is actually something that's modeled well for us here in the Mass. Each Lord's Day, we gather to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him in the liturgy of the word. And then we share a meal, that is communion, with him in the liturgy of the Eucharist. It is a meal that he has provided for us, which of course is also prepared for us by the work of many within our community, and which also serves as our offering of thanksgiving for all that we have received from him. And then at the end of Mass, we are sent to go and engage our duty to serve, that is, to be the instruments of hospitality that invite everyone to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and to receive his hospitality, the hospitality that he has provided. Whether that be here at Mass, the place where we invite them, whether that be here at Mass, which of course is the ultimate good for anyone, or in your food pantry, or in your youth group, or in whatever service you do individually or as a family out in the community, all of it should be in a service of selfless hospitality to those around us. That is, not in begrudging duty. When we go forth to serve in this way, we too are filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, as St. Paul described himself as doing in the second reading, and thus helping to build the kingdom in our midst. And so, my friends, if as you sit here today at the feet of the Master, you know, perhaps some of you find yourself noticing some resentment about your duty to serve, perhaps a lot of resentment even. Or perhaps you find that you have a lack of sense of the duty to serve, or a complete unwillingness to serve. And if so, then you are called to place all of that at the feet of the Lord here at this table, at this altar, and to ask for the grace to receive the good that he is pouring out to you. Regardless of whether that grace be to strengthen you in your service in spite of the seeming disparity in service between you and those around you, or to inspire you to take up the mantle of service and so discover the joy of the greater communion with Christ that service is meant to foster while further building up the kingdom. But above all, my brothers and sisters, let us give thanks in this Mass. Let us give thanks in this Mass that God has invited us to this place in order for us to receive from him. For in it, we give him thanks, and he gives us the bread of life. What a merciful exchange, no? We give him our imperfect offerings, and he gives us life. And so in response, may our lives then become living signs of this goodness he has poured out to us.